Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for being a part of the Sunday School Hour. We're back again. We have a dynamic message. A message would definitely get you ready for your Sunday School class at your present ministry. We're coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And the title for this week's lesson is The Lord Provides. Again, Genesis 22, 1 through 14. The Lord Provides. Today we have on the line Sister Jackie Matthews. So Sunday School Hour, please show her some love.
Thank you, Brother Gary, and it's always a pleasure to be on the Sunday School Hour.
Well, we thank God for you for being a part of the Sunday School ministry as well. Those of you all that's out there listening, please get your book, get your Bibles ready as you glean the scriptures as we go forth on this particular lesson dealing with the Lord Provides, Genesis 22, 1 through 14. We're yet continuing discussing Abraham, dealing with the promise of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, amen, the experiences of Abraham. And in this lesson, you will see how God will bless him by providing for him, providing an escape for a sacrifice. So we're going to ask Sister Jackie, she'll go ahead and tell us a little bit about the Lord Provides.
Amen. When we talk about the Lord provides, we are talking about the Lord meeting a need or making provision for us. But he also supplied it and made it available for Abraham to render a sacrifice unto him.
Amen. Thank God for that word. Amen. You're talking about a sacrifice, talking about provision, talking about making a way out of no way, an escape. Amen. Sometimes when we get in a position that the task may seem incredible hard, or you may be challenged, your faith may be challenged, or you just simply got your back up against the wall, but we have a God that will provide. As you're going to see in this particular story, that Abraham stood the test by the fact that he was given instruction to do what he was supposed to do, amen, simply just obeying God's word. But sometimes when you got to give up what you claim hope to so dearly to your heart, that's close to your heart, then it becomes a dilemma, even to the obedient one. But we're going to see what Abraham did when he was faced with this call upon his life. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take a look at verse 1 here, as Sister Jackie brings us out on verse 1.
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. You know, in this verse right here, when we mention the word tempt, God did tempt Abraham. We're not talking about the way the enemy tried to tempt God in the wilderness because he meant that for evil. But this tempt that God is talking about here was a test to prove Abraham, to prove that Abraham was faithful unto God. We have to understand that this whole lesson dealing with Abraham deals with nothing but loyalty, faith, and obedience. Because leading up to this lesson, we understand how Abraham was first called to leave his father's house and his kinfolks. And then after that, he was also made to be the father of many nations. He was promised that. God reassured him this in the last lesson, that his seed would come from his bile, not from his household. And God reassured Abraham in the last lesson. Abraham had been through a whole lot from the beginning of the lessons that we started out with Abraham. Like I said, he was called from home. He had to be reassured. He had to fight battles dealing with his nephew Lot. He lied to two kings, and God dealt with the kings, and they dealt with Abraham in a kindly way, and not only dealt with him, but blessed him and sent him on away after he said that Sarah was his sister, knowing that Sarah was his half-sister, but he was meaning that as a deceit because he didn't want to die, because he knew that he would die. But, I mean, still and all, God still dealt with Abraham and knew that Abraham was still faithful all the way up to his calling. You know, we had the birth of Ishmael, the birth of Isaac, the sending away of Haggai. I mean, he had been through a lot up until this part. So for him to say, to bring out the part where I'm trying to get to where he said, behold, here I am. I believe at this point, Abraham had took on so much faith and believed in God because the seed had already been planted. And Abraham believed God so much to when he called him, he could say, here I am, with no hesitation.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for that history. Looking back of the between time, you know, and say, and it came to pass after these things. I believe Sister Jackie was trying her best to bring the things into the picture here. Of course, like she said, it was history that had passed. Time had passed. Things had occurred. Remember now, Isaac is now born now, 100 years old. Man named Abraham was given the task to bring a son into the world. He was the promised son to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. When he was spoken to, remember, he was 75 years old when that word came. But then here he is, 100 years old, then come a man child from his loins. Amen. His name is Isaac. Isaac means laughter. For both Abraham and Sarah laughed when they heard that Sarah was going to have a son. One, it was definitely a miracle that was spoken to them to produce a baby at their age. Amen. But thank God, when God's word comes, you can believe it. You can bank on it. It will come to pass. You can be 200 years old. If he said you was going to have a baby, you already should be getting your clothes, building a room and getting ready for that addition to be added to the family. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. You know, Sister Jackie really brought out some great things dealing with this particular verse here and how Abraham came to bow. You know, you have to understand that tempt meaning here again is test, and many of us have been tested. Our faith have been tested time after time and after time, and many of us have failed the test. Then there were times where you had passed the test, and it showed you if you was really paying attention to what you was going through, and you were actually honest with yourself, and you say to yourself, I did not pass the test, then you have another opportunity to pass the next one. So here Abraham is being tempted. And the Bible tells us in James 1:13, he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So this is not an evil thing that is being put up on him, although it is a task. In some cases, to many of us, it will be a spiritual dilemma to be told to do something, amen, by God, and it affects that thing that is close to your heart that you may have to depart from. To some of us, it would not be a simple case of being obedient. It would be a dilemma. But to many of us that are really saved, that are really, really tied up in God's word, and no matter what he tell us, it won't be a dilemma. It will be just simply an act of faith. Just move out on his word and perform what he said do. Praise God. Let's go ahead and take a look at verse 2.
And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here he's given Abraham a command to take Isaac to be offered. Now we have to look at where Abraham came from. His father's land, they offered children for sacrifice. So for to offer a child for a sacrifice was nothing uncommon to Abraham, because the land that God brought him out of, they practiced things like that. But for God to tell Abraham to take Isaac, thy only son, and the one that thou lovest, this had to show some great faith, because in these verses, I don't see where Abraham questioned him at any point. I know on the movies that they show where he's falling down and he's doing this and he's doing this, but it was no hesitation. It's nowhere written where Abraham hesitated or questioned God in any such way. So here it is showing that Abraham showed some great faith. He was very, very obedient to God. And it shows a belief that he believed that God could do anything. So for him to say in the first verse, here I am, and then to go and do what God tells him to do, as Brother Gary said, even as hard as that may sound, to give up your beloved son with no hesitation after his promise to you. But just like God promised to him, Abraham has been walking alone in faith from day one when God called him.
Amen. This is definitely a startling position to be in, especially knowing how parents are about their children. There are some parents that just about almost throwing away their child. They're not just giving them up for a sacrifice. They're actually trying to get rid of them. You know, they're throwing them in garbage cans. They killing them. They smothering them. They're doing everything but the right thing for the child because of a selfish act. But here you're seeing something totally different here. This is a selfless act, meaning that what God put up on Abraham, amen, he was willing to do it. Because if he was selfish, he would be fighting and struggling with a spiritual dilemma here. But no, it's a selfless act, meaning that he's going to give up of his own self, meaning his son, for the word of God, for being obedient, and it's for a cause here. So by him being put in this position and agreeing with Sister Jackie, how he went about it was very, very commendable here. He said, and take now thy son. Here he said, thy only son, Isaac here. His only son. Of course, we understand through scriptures here, this is not his only son for his blood relative. Of course not, because before he had Isaac, Abraham went out of the will of God and produced another child with Hagar, which was the maidservant of his wife Sarah. And it wasn't uncommon back then for them to lay with the maidservant if the wife could not produce a child, in order to have that child come in and plus produce a man child. Because the man child, not only were they looking for a type of Christ, but they was looking for a man child because the man child was the support system. Just like we have dollar bills that would support us, but the man child would be that support system for that woman. This is how they made it with the man, because he did the work. But to not have the opportunity to give a child, then it was common then that they go into the maidservant. And in this case, they produced because they was trying to further along the promise of God that was given to Abraham, that he would have a son and that his seed would be many. But what happened was, because it didn't happen fast enough, he moved out of the will and went on proceed with making a child. So here, God is not recognizing Isaac as being that son in this equation here. He said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, which is the promised child that was given to him and Sarah out of their union here. Say, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah. This significant place here, that there are going to be many more sacrifices done in this same place by the children of Israel. Also, this same place is another significant event when it dealt with David, as he dealt with the threshing floor. Also, this particular place again is nearby where Jesus Christ himself will be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world.
Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place in which God had told him. We know here Abraham is getting ready to make the preparations for what God had told him to do. So he is getting everything all prepared. He took two of his young men with him, along with Isaac, his son, as they went to the place where God was going to lead them.
There are some things that I kind of want to bring out that deals with the instruction that Abraham had received. One, he received the instructions and he went immediately to do what God had told him to do. There was no questions about it. And he also received information as to where he's supposed to go and what he was supposed to do. Of course, he had to travel there and it was going to take him a while to get there. But what's such a big deal was what he had to do. But yet still, out of obedience, Abraham went there. Dealing with that verse 2 as well as the 3, he acted on faith. And this is what made him a man of faith here. It's not just simply just doing deeds, but what made him a man of faith that he believed God's word. Now, you have to understand that even Sister Jackie brought out some of the imperfections of his faith, brought out some of the things that he actually did, such as telling a half truth to Pharaoh, amen, and also to King Abimelech. Also, he dealt with some other things, such as bringing another son into the world, amen, out of the will of God, trying to further his will. So those were signs of imperfection. But here he goes on to, after he is being developed, he's now at a point now that he can actually move on God's word. And sometimes we ourselves as Christians will spend time in God's presence to be developed. And while God is developing our faith, we're going to be tested over and over again. Abraham, in his third verse, he said, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." So whatever he had told him, Abraham already knew what he needed. Some of us need so much information in order to obey God's word, but you have to be careful about receiving God's word. You have to do it and do it like he said it. You know that God said, go build an altar and put a sacrifice on there. You know what it takes to do that. Amen. God is intelligent, and also he raises up intelligent people. So just by him being obedient and knowing what to do, he went on and did that.
Amen. And verse 4, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off."
Amen. You know, dealing with this verse 4 here is so significant, as well as dealing with the sacrifice that God asked him to do, as well as the timing. Remember, we talked about that type of Christ, the typologies dealing with the acts of Christ here. And you will see these things happening even in the scripture here, by him taking his son to be offered as a sacrifice, and then him taking the wood, carrying it himself. And then here it says in 3 days, these are the same things that happened to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on that third day was offered as a sacrifice, and he is arriving to the place in the area where Jesus himself would be sacrificed.
And verse 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now, when you look at this verse, you have to read it and explaining exactly how Abraham thought, because it said, "And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So he right here, he was showing that in what God had told him to do, it was no doubt. It was no doubt. It was no worry. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't thinking about it, because he had the assurance that what God told him to do, his promise was still going to be fulfilled. I can't say that he knew exactly how God was going to do it, whether he knew he was going to raise him from the dead or how, but Abraham had that much faith in God that he blessed me with this son. He knows I love this son. And if he take this son, he could give me another son, or he'll give me back the son. I like the way he worded it, because he spoke it almost in existence. You know, when he said, "We're coming back. I might be taking him here." The young men didn't know exactly what was going on, but he let them know that we both will be back. Now, that is some faith. And even if you look over in Hebrews 11 and 19, it talks about how God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Here is also going back to the faith of Abraham. We have to remember who Abraham was. Abraham was the father of faith. And like I said, I can understand why. Because Abraham, everything that God told him to do, it was no questions asked. The only time that I can see where a question might have been asked is at the time when Abraham had got old in age and he hadn't had a son yet. And Sarah was barren. And he asked, would it be his servant, in the male servant in his house? But he wasn't asking that question in doubt. He was asking that question in so much faith because he wanted God's word to be fulfilled. He loved God that much. He wanted to make sure that God's word, that he was going to be in the will of God to fulfill what God had promised him.
Abraham was given this promise that he would be the father of many nations, and it would come from his seed. And that's why the servant of his household could not be the one to be able to be the heir of his household, because he wasn't the promised child. Just like Ishmael was not going to be that promised child. Why? Because it had to come from his seed. It is his seed that must be planted, huh? It's his seed that would be the blessings to many nations here. So yes, God is particular about how this will play out here. So God had to test Abraham. Many of us need to be tested. Many of us need to be tried so that we can see where we at with God, and so that God can see where you at with him. So yes, this is definitely a task that he's going through.
Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. You know, here Abraham took everything that he needed for the sacrifice. He took the wood, he took the fire pot, he took the knife, and he also took the sacrifice, which was Isaac. You know, when you look at these verses and you think about how Christ, when he was being crucified, how in this verse it said, and Abraham laid the wood up on Isaac, how Christ had to bury his cross. In 1 Peter 1:19, it talked about who bared our sins in his own body on a tree, on wood. Isaac is going to have to take this wood on up the hill to the sacrifice, not knowing that he was the sacrifice. Christ knew he was the sacrifice. But here, Isaac is going willingly, unknowing that he is the sacrifice. But I love the humility that he has. That's why it is so important for us that are living a saved and sanctified life to teach our children about Christ. Because evidently, Abraham had to be a great teacher of Christ for Isaac to follow him so faithfully and so humbly, that he had so much trust in his father that no harm would come to him. He was just going on doing what his father said. And here, when we look at these verses, like Brother Gary was saying about how they are so significant to also what's going to happen in the future coming up in the New Testament. Amen.
Of course, again, dealing with this verse here is definitely a milestone in the terms of events here. As I reiterate here, dealing with a type of Christ here. And also here is dealing with Mount Moriah, dealing with this particular area here. He carried his own wood. Obviously, he was not a little boy to be able to tote that particular wood to this destination here. And so he wasn't a small kid. Matter of fact, he's in a position to carry wood, meaning that he must have been of great size so that he can be able to participate like this. And let's take a look at verse 7. It said, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?
And this verse right here, this is where Isaac asked the question, because the young men have been left behind. The wood has been laid on his back to carry up the hill, and now all the preparation is being made. So normally you would ask, okay, where is the sacrifice? Since there's only two of us here, and I don't see a goat, I don't see a lamb, I don't see anything. So for Isaac to ask this question, that was normal. That was common, because he's going with his father for a sacrifice. But at this point, the question was asked by Isaac as to where is the sacrifice for the offering.
What a question to ask. What is going on? A sacrifice, one, is ordained by God. A sacrifice was done because of a sinful man. Even the first sacrifice that was made to cover Adam and Eve because of the sin that they committed in the Garden of Eden. Sacrifice was common. The offering of sacrifices is to be regarded as a divine institution. So yes, they knew about sacrifices. And also, even the lad himself understood that when you do make a sacrifice, the sacrifice is not done while it was alive. The sacrifice had to be killed. In some cases, the throat would be slit. So for him to ask the question, where is the sacrifice? And verse 8 said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together.
It kind of takes me back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not comparison Isaac with God, but the fact that Abraham was about to sacrifice his only begotten son from God, the one that he loved, and he was willing to sacrifice him. And when we talk about the lamb, it goes back to Christ as being the lamb that was sacrificed for us, that gave his life for us. So it's a lot in this verse right here when you talk about providing himself a lamb for the burnt offering, more than just talking about the sacrifice here of Isaac.
My, he said, my son, God will provide for him a lamb for a burnt offering here. Abraham knew God will provide a sacrifice, but where? To tell him that God will provide a lamb is another sign of faith. Huh? Of course, Isaac is his only son, and Abraham, of course, any good father would want his son to be offered as a sacrifice. But if God speaks to a faithful man, you better believe that son is going to go. Huh? You're dealing with God here. God has the ultimate word. God has the final word. Only thing he needs for you to have an act of faith here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe that God is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is your everything. So John 1:29 tells us that the next day John said Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. He said he will provide himself a lamb. A lamb for a burnt offering. What is a lamb? A lamb is one that acts in obedience. You can take him to the slaughter. He will not fight you. He will be obedient. Even his very voice will sound as an act of obedience. A lamb is fightless. He won't fight with you. He will just simply go to the slaughter. Jesus here is considered to be the lamb. Amen. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Why? Because he's going to be that lamb that would go to the slaughter. He would be crucified. He would be laid down. He would be put on the cross. He would be hung up on high. And he will die for the world without a murmuring word. You have to understand this. This is what a lamb do. And this is what you saw when it came down to Isaac. He became that lamb, that type of Christ, without murmuring, without pulling away, without fighting. Let me tell you something. I have a daughter that's getting ready to be 17 years old. If God spoke to me and I told her that she was going to be that sacrifice, we wouldn't be able to find her. Oh, yes. But thank God we don't have any more sacrifices such as this. The Bible talks about sacrifice, meaning that you give your selfless service, which is your reasonable service. And Romans 12:1 tells us, he said, I beseech ye, brother, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service here. We're talking about selfless service now. This is what we provide. This is what we sacrifice. We sacrifice our money. We sacrifice our time. And sacrifices mean that is that you don't, it's not that you don't have it, but you can't afford to give it. Here, Isaac was in a position as being that one that Abraham truly couldn't afford to give up his only seed. This was his seed of promise here. He only had one of them. He was the seed of promise. And for Abraham to step out on faith and to offer his only seed don't mean that he didn't have a seed to give, but he just can't afford to give his only one. But he did. And when he gave his only seed, even God himself, he only had one seed to plant in the earth. Not that he didn't have one, but he couldn't afford to give that one. But he did. That is called a sacrifice. And when you become selfless in your service, the Bible says this is your reasonable service. If giving up your time and giving up your money, and giving up your sleepless nights, spend some time to change people's lives. This is your reasonable service.
Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now here you're talking about it had to be a very humble Isaac, because we note that if he was able to carry his wood, that he couldn't have been a little boy. And like Brother Gary had mentioned, knowing that he might be the sacrifice, you would think he would have fled or ran or something. But for him to let his father bind him, make you also think about how they bound Christ when they came and got him out of the Garden of Gethsemane, and how they led him through the city. He didn't fight back. He didn't push or nothing, but he went on humble. And just like Isaac here, he had to be very humble for Abraham to bind him and then to lay him down, knowing that he was going to be a sacrifice. The only somebody that I've read in the Bible was over in Judges, the 11th chapter, and I believe his name was Jephthah, where he had made a vow to God that if he won the battle against the Amorites, that whoever came through his door first, he would offer them as a sacrifice. And his daughter came through first. And when he seen her, he cried, but she herself realized that he had made a vow to God, and she told him whatever, that she was still willing, just let her go and say bye, to go ahead and be the sacrifice. So in order for this to happen, it had to have a humble spirit. See, God knows exactly, just like he told the devil with Job. Do you consider Job a perfect and upright man? God knew Abraham, and he knew that Abraham was going to follow his instructions 100%. He just wanted to let Abraham know that he was going to follow his instructions 100%. So that leaves us with no excuse. It leaves us with no excuse that when God promises us something and God tells us something, that we should have faith to believe it no matter how long it took. It took a period of time for all this to happen, over 25, 30 years. And sometimes we don't even have the patience to wait 6 months when God tells us that something is going to happen. So sometimes when you're getting discouraged and you waiting on a promise to come through or a prophecy to come through, go back and read about Abraham. Go back and read the Bible and see how long they had to wait and how they had to go through. Sometimes we don't even have to go through much. But they had to go through. They had to endure some hardship and still remain faithful unto God.
Amen. You know, dealing with this particular area as well, dealing with that verse 9, of course, you know, like I said, if my daughter had the opportunity to become a sacrifice, you would not find her. She would be gone, hightailed, packed up bags and gone. Don't even call me. But for someone to have a selfless faith such as they showed here, it definitely takes an act of faith. Look, this didn't happen to come so easy. Amen. Sometimes we can look at our own parents and see how they walk with God. And then when they come down to a dilemma or a fork in a road or a crossroad for our own lives, we sit and think about how our family or how our parents lived before me, before you. And then that decision is made not based off your relationship. It usually is based off because you have seen an act of faith from your own parents. That's why it's so important that parents will live right before their own children, that they really, really do God's word. Because even if you think little Jody is not paying any attention, trust me, he knows some differences because he's been around the church long enough to know that certain words shouldn't be said, certain things shouldn't be done, and certain places you shouldn't go. Why? Because he's been in church. He may not understand the Bible, but he understands that you don't supposed to do what you're doing. So when that crossroad in his life come, he will look back on the faith that he had in his parents, and he will make a right decision based off what he's seen. Now, if he's seeing other things other than Christ-like, and he make the decision based off what he see, he will surely, sure enough, die, amen, at the hands of someone that's not right. So you have to be careful how you live, because everything you do, somebody's watching you. They see everything you do, amen, they hear everything you say. It's important. So here Isaac, it knows the faith of his father, heard the stories, been around, knowing that he is the promisee, knowing he is the one, amen. It's a lot of things that this individual may have had to take into account when he first heard that he was the lamb, he was the sacrifice, he was that one. Thank God that God did provide. Verse 10 say, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So, but Isaac being obedient, he learned obedience. So it didn't just happen, but he learned obedience, because if he did not know anything about God, doubtless, I think that Isaac would have been laying down easily. Praise God. It depends on how he grew up. Depends on where he at. Look, my child, amen, grew up in a household of faith, but she didn't walk in faith all the time. So therefore, as a sinner, she gonna act like a sinner when she's being challenged with such a dilemma here. So people are going to act just like they're trained. People are going to act just like they feel and what they want to do. But if you don't have God in you, I don't expect you to lay down or to bow down. Amen. Some of us go on the job or being talked about. We're almost just like the lamb. We're being crucified. Amen. Made a sacrifice, put on the chopping block right on our job here. Amen. But many of us would not take it. We would want to fight. We would say, get me a lawyer. I'm going to fight until I would go down. But then if you act like a lamb, you'll believe God will make a way. You'll believe God will provide a lamb for you. You'll believe God will make an escape for you, because that's what lambs do. That's what people do when they're in Christ. They seek a way out through Christ, not on their own. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we have to understand we can't pick up the knife and do our own cutting. You will see right here, Abraham picked up the knife. The Bible said he stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son, because the sacrifice, before it can become a sacrifice, it has to die. And many of us are walking around too much alive. Amen. How can you be like Romans 12 and 1? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Christ, which is your reasonable service. Only way that you give yourself as a sacrifice, like verse 12 and 1 in Romans, you must become a dead one. You must die in Christ. You must die, amen, die in the spiritual realm, meaning that you're no longer a sinner, but you have become like Christ. You must go down believing that he died. You must be submerged believing that he's been buried. And you must come up just like he was risen on the third day, because you are no longer yourself. Your old man has passed away. Amen. You are no longer a sinner man. You died to the world, and now you are becoming a living sacrifice. See, so when it comes down to delivering a sacrifice, he must die first in order to be acceptable. When you put him on the altar, that Isaac knew this. Let's take a look at verse 11 here. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. You notice here, before I give it over to Sister Jackie, the Bible says the angel of the Lord came unto him. And then he went on to say, Abraham, Abraham. Anytime you see a sense of urgency, you will hear an alarming call to prevent tragedy. Sometimes things will come against you, and you're about at the brink of death. You can't take it no more. Before there is an ending, there is a call of urgency that will call out to you to save you. If Abraham hadn't heard the second Abraham, if he hadn't heard the call of urgency, Isaac would have been dead. Sometimes we need somebody to rescue us so that we can keep living. Praise God.
Amen. I was enjoying that, Brother Gary, because true enough, like you said, in verse 10, Abraham was willing to slay his only begotten son. Isaac was as good as dead. In verse 10, and so that angel appeared unto Abraham. And when he said, here am I, it sounded like he was just saying, I'm willing, Lord. You gave me this command, and I'm willing to take it all the way through. You know, and like I said, this is what makes this whole lesson so great, and all the lessons up until this point, is to how faithful Abraham was to God. He knew God was faithful to him, but how faithful Abraham was to God. And for him to be willing to take that knife in his hand and get ready to slay it, as it said, he stretched it forth, which means he was ready. He didn't have no second thoughts. He didn't say, oh, this is my son, Lord. Do I have nothing? He was ready, which means he had such a belief in God that nothing would stop him from doing the command that God gave him to do.
Amen. Take a look at Hebrews 11 chapter, verses 17 through 19. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Uh-oh, type of Christ here, only seed, a sacrifice, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Amen. You got to understand that God himself seen that sacrifice. Anytime you give a sacrifice, God will reward you. Abraham was trusted by God, amen, that he would obey him, and he did. No doubt about it. Thank God that an urgency call. You'll find out here, even in the commentary, say at the last second, God intervenes through the angel of the Lord. The repetition of Abraham's name underscores the urgency. Like a parent screaming to a child who is chasing a ball into oncoming traffic, God's heavenly message stops Abraham in the tracks because he was going to die. Like Sister Jackie, he was going to die. When you're dealing with a man of faith, especially when you're dealing with a man that is going to do God's will. You better believe he's going to do it. I don't care what you say, wife. If he say God spoke to him and he's been walking by faith and you know this, and you better believe when he said God said give that car, the car is gone. Just already start looking for another one. Don't even look back like Saul's wife did. Don't get attached to the things that God speaks into people to give to other people. Don't even hold on to it. If God speaks it, if he gave you that one, he would give you 10 more just like it. Amen. Verses 12 tells us, and he said, lay not thy hand up on that lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. In other words, sometimes I can look at him and say, man, you crazy. Man, I was just playing with you, man. Don't kill him, man. I'm just going to see if you're going to do it. You know, you've been around them guys and they give you the double dare, the double dog dare, and you crazy enough to do it. And then all of a sudden they cry out and say, man, don't do it. Because why? They didn't think you was going to do it. By goodness, if you would have done it, you could have caused yourself to be in harm's way. You could have been in prison. You could have been gone for life just because you was out there hanging with the boys. Amen. It kind of reminds me of something like this. But here, you're dealing with a man of faith. When you speak to a man of faith and God said, oh, you better believe it. It's over with. It's going to happen. I like dealing with men that walks out on crazy faith. That believe God for his word. If you tell him, you better be for real what you're saying, because he hears nothing but the word of God. He hears nothing but the call of God. He hears nothing but to act on what is being said. I don't care what you do, where you go. If you believe like Abraham, you're going to be called the friend of God. Good God Almighty. So here he is. He said, hey, man. He told him, he said, look, hey, stop. He said, I know thou fearest God. You have proved yourself to me. Huh? See, what the boys do, they will tempt you of evil. Huh? But God is saying that I want to see if your faith is where you're supposed to be. Huh? He's not trying to build his faith. He is only trying to show him that he has faith. And when you show God that you have faith, there's works that comes with it. And when he speaks and you do it, you have proven that you are actually in the will of God.
Amen, brother. I just have a little to say on that, because when you talk about him fearing God, that shows that Abraham referenced God more than anything in life. He was willing to give up his son for God, his only begotten son, which means, like you said, he was unselfish in all of his doing. And that's why when it comes over to the New Testament, God tells us that except we can deny mother, father, sister, brother, yea, our own self, we cannot be his disciples. Because it might come to a time to where, hey, you might have to go against mom, you might have to go against dad, you might have to go against children, and you have to be just like Abraham. You have to fear God, so reference him so that, hey, you might be my child, but the will of God is going to be done in this house. And sometimes that is in setting orders. Sometimes that is even in the church. That's in the community. When it comes to God's word, you got to stand on God's word, even if you have to stand alone. If nobody wants to stand with you, if family wants to turn away from you, you still have to stand on God's word. 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering and the stead of his son. And 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Just like that song, Jesus will work it out. Jesus will work it out. He provided sacrifice for Abraham. Why? Because he proved his faithfulness towards God. And Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh to let us know that God will provide all of our needs.
Amen. There's so much can be said dealing with these verses here. And you're talking about where he was at, how God made a way. He provided a way. He gave him a ram that was caught in a thicket. We call it a bush, by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You're talking about his only son. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. I thank God for that act of faith that he showed here. He showed what we ought to be at. We learned through the last few scriptures that he moved, he grew, he learned God. He moved into the area of faith where he can be called a friend of God because he believed God at his word. And he shows it right here. He said, man, this is it. This is the final straw here. You giving up your son. This was an act of faith. You know, you can go through scriptures. He stair-stepped every situation throughout the centuries of time here, throughout his word. Don't tell me man wrote this Bible. There's no way he's intelligent enough throughout the eons of time to continue a story of writings. God did it all himself. You know, even in that 14th verse, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. You know, if we have to break this script, that particular word down, the designation Jehovah Jireh literally means the Lord sees. It's the term Abraham used in responding to Isaac's question about the animal. Abraham tells Isaac in essence that the Lord will see to it that an animal is provided. This is why many verses of the Bible offer the translation, the Lord will provide, or God will provide. He will see to it. He will make provision. He's faithful enough to make sure that you're well taken care of. So if you ever get in the position of lack, always remember that he is a Jehovah Jireh. He will see to you. He will make sure you're taken care of. He is your provision. He will provide. He's your supply, your endless supply. And when you come to a point that you believe him at his word, I'm going to continue to tell this testimony. Amen. Over the course of 3 years, I believe God to be a Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He see to my needs. He made provision for my family. I just had to simply be Abraham. I just simply had to believe God at his word. I had believed that what he said to me before we went into our trying period, I believe what he told me. And then through it all, I believe God. And when we came out, I now testify that he is a provider. You can't tell me he won't pay the rent. He can't tell me he won't put money in the bank. Abraham's faith is the faith that all of us need to have. And the challenges of the faith is what we have to understand we must go through. Challenges are made to show us where we at. And when we find out where we at, be honest. Amen. This is a great set of scriptures here that really brings us back to the place where we need to be dealing with Abraham. We went over Abraham for the last 3 weeks talking about, amen, the promises of Abraham. Amen. So God provided a lamb. He saved that boy because a man of faith was definitely going to obey God rather than man. Thank God for you, Sister Jackie, for being a part of the Sunday School Hour, for going over the scriptures that whereby we must glean from. And we thank God for you all that's out there listening. Thank God for you. Continue to bless the Lord by showing up to your own Sunday school class at your present ministry. Continue to listen to Sunday School Hour, www.sundayschoolhour.com. Praise God.